Well, now you'll have a very long poem of mine. It's so long that it isn't finished. What is here are five parts translated by Sam Charters, who is a poet from California who lives in Sweden. Well, I have to talk a little first. It's called Baltics, which is a non-existent plural form of the Baltic. And as you know, this is a sea which is east of Sweden and between Sweden and Soviet and between Sweden and Poland and Sweden and Finland. And the whole poem is a sort of bag where I put everything. It's nature, poetry, it's politics, it's autobiographical things, it's about my ancestors and so on. Actually, it's a documentary poem, part of it. What I tell here is absolutely the truth, so I didn't invent anything. It started 3 years ago. I found an almanac, which was mother's father, my maternal grandfather, he was a pilot, and he had written down the ships he piloted. There were many almanacs from 1882 to 1889. And I come originally from the archipelago outside the Swedish East Coast, where I have my roots, so to say. There are some exotic names here, which are Swedish harbors and also harbors on the other shore, the other Baltic shores. Well, part one. It was before the time of radio masts. My mother's father was a newly licensed pilot. In the almanac, he wrote down the vessels he piloted. Name, destination, draft. Examples from 1884. Steamer Tiger, Captain Rowan, 16 feet, Hull, Gävle, Furusund. Brig Ocean, Captain Andersen, 8 feet, Sandefjord, Härnösand, Furusund. Steamer St. Petersburg, Captain Liebenberg, 11 feet, Stettin, Libau, Sandhamn. He took them out to the Baltic through the wonderful labyrinth of islands and water. And the ones that met on board and were borne by the same hull for a few hours or a few days, how well did they get to know each other? Talking in misspelled English, understanding and misunderstanding, but very little conscious lying. How well did they get to know each other? When it was thick fog, half speed, almost blind, the headland coming out of the invisibility with a single stride, it was right on them. Foghorn blasting every other minute, his eyes reading straight into the invisible. Did he have the labyrinth in his head? The minutes went by. Land and reefs memorized like hymn verses. And the feeling of we are right here that you have to keep, like carrying a pail filled to the brim without spilling a drop. Glance down into the engine room, the compound engine, as long-lived as a human heart, worked with great, soft, recoiling movements, steel acrobatics, and the smells rising from it as from a kitchen. Two. I should mention that Strombus gigas is the Latin name of a shell, which a conch sailors often took home to decorate their gardens with. Two. The wind walks in the pine forest. It sighs heavily, lightly. In the middle of the island, the Baltic also sighs. Deep in the forest, you are out on the open sea. The old woman hated the sighing in the trees. Her face hardened in melancholy when the wind rose. You have to think of those out there in the boats. But she also heard something else in the sighing, as I do. We are related. We are walking together. She has been dead for 30 years. It sighs yes and no, understanding and misunderstanding. It sighs three children healthy, one in the sanitarium and two dead. The broad current that blows some flames into life and blows others out. Conditions. It sighs, save me, Lord, the waters are coming unto my soul. You walk around listening for a long time, finally reaching the point where the boundaries begin to open up, or rather, where everything becomes boundaries. An open square, sunk in darkness, people streaming out of the dimly lit buildings around it, murmuring. A new gust of wind, and the square again lies solitary and still. A new gust of wind, that sighs of other shores. It deals with war. It deals with places where the citizens are controlled, where thoughts are built with emergency exits, where a conversation between friends is really a test of what friendship means. And when you are together with somebody you don't know well, controlled. A certain frankness is all right if you just don't lose sight of something drifting there on the outskirts of the conversation. Something dark, a dark stain. Something that can drift in and destroy everything. Don't lose sight of it. What can it be compared with? A mine? No, that would be too solid and almost too peaceful, since on our coast most stories about mines end happily. The terror limited to the moment. As this story from the lightship. Fall 1915, we were sleeping uneasily, etc. A drifting mine was sighted as it floated calmly toward the lightship. It was sinking, heaving up, at times hidden by the waves, at times glimpsed like a spy in a crowd. The crew lying there in agony, shooting at it with rifles without success. Finally, they put out a boat and made a long line fast to the mine and towed it carefully and slowly into the experts. Afterwards, they set up the mine's dark shell in the sand, a little stretch of a park as an ornament, along with Strombos Gigas shells from the West Indies. And the gale makes its way through the dry pines beyond. It hurries over the sand of the cemetery, past the leaning stones, the names of the pilots, the dry sighing of large gates opening and large gates closing. Part three starts with something I must explain. It's a description of certain reliefs of from the 12th century by an artist who was a mixture of Viking style artist and early Christian style. His name was Hegvald, and that's the only thing you know about him, that he had that name. And he was working in Gotland, which is an island in the Baltic. I'm describing some of his scenes. Robben Island is a prison island outside South Africa. Yeah. Three. In the half-dark corner of the Gotland church, in the mildew daylight, stands a sandstone baptismal font, 12th century, the stonecutter's name still there, shining like a row of teeth in a mass grave, Hegvaldr, the name still there, and his scenes here, and on the sides of other vessels crowded with people, the figures on their way out of the stone, the eyes kernel of good and evil bursting there, Herod at the table, the roasted cock flying up and crowing, Christus natus est, the servant was executed. Close by, the child is born, under clumps of faces as worthy and helpless as young monkeys, and the fleeing steps of the pious, drumming over the dragon scales of sewer mouths. The scene stronger in memory than when you stand in front of them, strongest when the font spins like a slow, rumbling carousel in the memory. Nowhere the lee side, everywhere risk. As it was, as it is. Only inside there is peace, in the water of the vessel that no one sees. But on the outer walls, the struggle rages. And peace can come, drop by drop, perhaps at night, when we don't know anything, or as when we are taped to a drip in a hospital ward. People, beasts, ornaments. There isn't any landscape, ornaments. Mr. B, my traveling companion, amiable in exile, escaped from Robben Island, says, I envy you. I don't feel anything for nature. But figures in landscape, that says something to me. Here are figures in landscape. A photo from 1865. The steamer lies at the dock in the channel. Five figures. A lady in light crinoline, like a bell, like a flower. The men are like extras in a folk drama. They are all good-looking, indecisive, beginning to fade out. They step on shore for a moment, they fade out. The steamer is an extinct model, a high funnel, awning, narrow hull. It's completely strange. A UFO that's landed. Everything else in the photo is shockingly real. The ripples on the water, the opposite beach. I can stroke the rough rocks with my hand. I can hear the sighing in the spruce. It's near. It's today. The waves are topical. Now, 100 years later, the waves come in from no man's water and break against the stones. I walk along the beach. It isn't like it used to be to walk along the beach. You have to swallow too much, keep too many conversations going at the same time. You have thin walls. Everything has gotten a new shadow behind its ordinary shadow. And you hear it dragging along even when it's completely dark. It's night. The strategic planetarium rotates. The lenses stare into the darkness. The night sky is full of numbers, and they are fed into a blinking cupboard, a piece of furniture, inside it the energy of a grasshopper swarm that devours acres of Somalia in half an hour. I don't know if we are in the beginning or in the final stage. No conclusion can be made. No conclusion is possible. The conclusion is the mandrake. See the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, mandrake. Miracle-working plant which gave such a dreadful shriek when it was torn out of the earth that the person fell dead. A dog had to do it. Yeah, part four, little more relaxed thing. The last word should be explained, Liepaja. That's the city, it's the same city as Libau in the first part of the poem. It's in Latvia, and it was, before the war, it was a commercial port. We had much contact with it, and now it's completely closed, it's military. military port belonged to the Soviet Union. 4, from the lee side, close-ups. Bladderwrack. The forests of Bladderwrack shine in the clear water. They are young. You want to emigrate there, stretch out on your own reflection, and sink down to such and such a depth. The seaweed holding itself up with air bladders, the way we hold ourselves up with ideas. Bullhead. The fish that's a toad that wanted to be a butterfly and made it a third of the way, hiding himself in the seaweed, but pulled up in the net, hooked fast by his pathetic spikes and warts. When you untangle him from the mesh of the net, your hands shine with slime. The rocks. The small creatures hurry over the sun-warmed lichens, rushing like second hands. The pine casts a shadow. It wanders slowly like an hour hand. Inside me, time stands still, endless time, the time it takes to forget all languages and invent perpetual motion. On the lee side, you can hear the grass growing, a faint drumming coming from underneath, a faint roar of millions of small gas flames. So it is to hear the grass grow. And now, the stretch of open water with outdoors, the open boundaries that grow broader and broader the further you stretch out. There are days when the Baltic is a calm, limitless roof. Then dream innocently of someone crawling out on the roof to try to put the halyards in order, trying to hoist the rag. The flag that's afraid by the wind and smoked by the funnels and bleached by the sun that it could be anybody's. But it's a long way to Liepāja. Part 5. My grandmother's story before it's forgotten. Her parents dying young. The father first. When the widow realizes the disease will take her too. She walks from house to house. Sails from island to island with her daughter. Who can take care of Maria? A strange house on the other side of the bay takes her in. They could afford to do it, but the ones that could afford weren't the good ones. Piety's mask cracks. Maria's childhood ends soon. She's an unpaid servant in perpetual cold. Year after year, perpetually seasick behind the long oars, the solemn terror at the table, the expressions, the pike skin crunching in her mouth, be grateful, she never looked back. But because of this, she could see the new and seize it, break out of the bonds. I remember her, I used to snuggle against her. And at the moment she died, the moment she passed over, she sent out a thought so that I, a 5-year-old, understood what had happened 30 minutes before they called. I remember her. But in the next brown photo, someone I don't know. By the clothes from the middle of the last century, a man about 30, the powerful eyebrows, the face that looks me right in the eye, whispering, "Here I am." But who I am is something that no one remembers anymore. No one. TB, isolation. Once he stopped on the stony, grass-teeming slope coming up from the sea and felt the black blindfold in front of his eyes. Here, behind the thick brush, is it the island's oldest house? The low, not trimmed, 200-year-old fisherman's hut with coarse, gray, heavy beams. And the modern brass padlock has clicked together on all of it, shining like the ring in the nose of an old bull that refuses to get up. so much crouching wood. And on the roof, the ancient tiles that collapsed across and on top of each other, the original pattern erased by the Earth's rotation through the years. It reminds me of something. I was there. Wait, it is the old Jewish cemetery in Prague, where the dead live closer together than they did in life. The stones jammed in, so much encircled love, the tiles with the lichen's letters in an unknown language. Are the stones in the archipelago people's ghetto cemetery, the stones erected and fallen down? The ramshackle hut shines with the light of all the people born up by a certain wave, a certain wind, out here to their fates. Yeah, that was the end of that so far.